Welcome to The Bottom Line with your host, Yacoub Oyens. Are you ready to change your life? We're here to take you to your full potential with enlightenment from some of the most forward-thinking guests and ideas. Now, here is Yacoub Oyens.
Good morning, everybody. Happy drive hour to you. This is The Bottom Line with Yacoub Oyens. Very excited today to have a show that we titled Back to Basics. A couple of crazy things happening in our country at the moment. And I believe in old school. I believe old school will be the new school. We didn't book any guests for today's show because I want to have a real conversation. I want us to dialogue. We're going to open the phone lines in a little bit. I'll tell you when they open. I'm going to give you that number. It is 866-472-5795. That is 866-472-5795. Welcome to Voice America Influencer Channel, The Bottom Line with Yacoub Oyens. Look, interesting things going on. I'm going to say a couple things about Corona, and then that'll be that, unless some of the callers have questions on Corona. Sanitize your hands. Be smart. Keep your immune system up. Sleep. Hydrate, get vitamin C into your system, don't touch people, but do not panic. Panic is never the right answer. Even in imminent danger, imminent threat, something like an active shooter in a building, it is not good to panic. And I'm seeing culture panic this morning. Yesterday, schools closing all over the place, and yes, we've got to be vigilant and we have to be smart, but no panic, and there's panic, so please, when you listen to media, hopefully it's media like this media that is balanced and point you back to foundation and stability such as God, to where we know there is a higher power and we don't need to panic. All right, let's dive into the show. When I say back to basics, I want to remind you, I'm from South Africa, raised a little bit differently, raised in a place where there's consequence. There's a little novel thought called consequence, right? Where people actually still have to have respect for society, still look at another human being and believe that there's value in that human being. As a matter of fact, I will encourage you today that the next person you meet, wherever you are right now, if you're in a Starbucks line or you're standing at the office, you're about to walk into a pitch in a meeting because it is morning, it is a Thursday morning, that you would, by default, believe that the next person you're about to meet has value, regardless of skin color, ethnicity, race, background, attire, financial situation, or geographical situation. You may be in your Mercedes and he may be on a bicycle right next to you in the street. I'm asking you to, for a second, think that just maybe God created that human being with purpose. Now, of course, if you don't believe there's a God, then we got a different conversation going on. But still, whatever you think, the person is here, right? They're on this planet. So they have the right to be here. They're here. Not like some people in the media and in the politics today believe that some people are exposable and dispensable, right? Because they're not. Every single human being has tremendous value. I want you to, for a second, think that the next person you meet may just have value, because they do. They actually do. That's someone's son, someone's daughter, someone's father, brother, uncle, aunt, cousin, niece, nephew. There are people attached to that person. There's stuff attached to that person. There's a history, just like you have a history, probably a broken history, just like yours is broken. Let's be real with one another. There are no perfect people. There was one and he will come again. But if that person has value, then surely that person has a set of life experiences that you did not walk. And down to the basic core of it all, you can learn something from that person. And if you can learn something from a person, a book, a situation, then you should pay attention and you should be open and we should be willing to listen and willing to learn, because you can, in fact, take something away from every conversation, even if it's a conversation that's controversial and argumentative right? And where the posture is not to be kind to you, you can still take something away from that. A very good friend of mine, someone who I actually respect, admire, and love, Charlie Kirk, faces a lot of scrutiny publicly, maybe more so than most. Let's say that, right? I know our president faces a lot of public scrutiny, but Charlie faces it face-to-face on college campuses. If I was to speak to Charlie this morning, I'd say, Charlie, still, and he knows this, those students standing in front of you, we can still learn from them. We can still learn about where their headspace is at, what culture is saying, what are they being taught, because people speak of what they've learned. Our behavior, for the most part, is learned. That's why it's so important for me as a Christian to follow the example of Jesus Christ, because I will start walking like that. I should. For the believers out there, we should start walking like that. We should absolutely. If we follow our faith and our leader in faith, which is Jesus, then we should start looking like him, talking like him, reacting, most importantly, like him. So when you see people in society today that it seems like things are falling apart, you have to understand that it's learned behavior. Somebody modeled that for them. There was a lack of healthy modeling. There's a toxic influence in their life that is thwarting basic good, basic foundation. So when we talk about, let's get back to the basics, I am going to say old school is new school. And I'm not just talking about sex. As you know, we fight sex trafficking and we go there. I'm talking about just general courtesy. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. Thank you. Yes, please. No, thank you. Opening and closing the door for ladies, not because we don't think they have the muscular density or the physical strength to open a door, woman. This is not what we're saying. We're trying to honor you. We want to honor you without wanting something from you. The novel thought of actually doing things for people without wanting anything in return. I want you to call in today if you want to discuss old school. What did grandpa and grandma do? The things that you frown upon today that you go, oh, that's so old school, because maybe, just maybe, it's new school. Just maybe that is exactly what our culture needs today. To recalibrate, to realign, to fall in line with the plumb line, maybe old school needs to become new school. That number to call again is 866-472-5795. 866-472-5795. This is Jakub Boyens, The Bottom Line. So one of the things that's very important to me, I'll tell you a quick story. A lot of my time growing up was spent without a father. I was raised without a father, right? I had a biological father. He passed away in 2011, but he was somewhere in the universe, but just not in my vicinity. You know, he was just not in my life. Periodically, he would drop in and out. And thankfully, later in my life, we got to rekindle a beautiful relationship. He gave his heart to the Lord, and we know where he is today. He is dancing in heaven because he ran the race to the end. And for those of you who have a past that's maybe a little bit of a gravel road, and maybe you've abandoned some of the basic principles, there's redemption in a second. Mercy and grace is new every morning, and we can turn it around and have a new path. Now, for me, a lot of that time where I was modeled what a man is supposed to be came from coaches. It came from, you know, rugby coaches, and later on in my life, football coaches, tennis. And I played seven sports, track. You know, I threw myself into sport because of coaches, but also my grandfather. My mom's dad was a tough guy. This guy was a fire chief, didn't speak maybe 10 words a week to me, but was there at moments we lived with them. Because as a family that gets displaced when you're young, mom, three kids, you know, you need a place to go. So we lived with my grandparents for a while. And I would spend or invest a lot of my time on my back under a car. Now, if you know me today, you'll go, Yaku's not the kind of guy that's going to go fix engines. But I've overhauled carburetors. You may not believe it. I've changed manifolds. I've, you know, bored motors. We changed pistons and plugs and mufflers and, you know, worked on chassis and suspensions under cars because that's what my grandfather's favorite hobby was. He was a fire chief, but he loved working on cars. So I've got a great appreciation for cars and the amount of effort. For all you mechanics out there, you heavy diesel motor boys, thank you. It's tireless work. It's the heart of America. It's blue collar, man. It is all muscle, sweat, and busted knuckles and hard work, hard work. And I've been there. You know, so I laid under a car, but I wasn't allowed to speak. It was my school. So I want you to imagine you as a 5, 6, 7-year-old boy laying under a car. And for those of you who want to start crying, oh, it's child abuse. It's not. No, it's life, baby. It is how you learn. You get uncomfortable when you learn. Okay. When you're a track athlete, you run until you puke and then you run again. And the coach is relentless. This is how you learn in life. This whole notion of life needs to be so comfortable that, you know, we would choose it if we wanted to. No, everything that's good for you, you wouldn't choose. Okay. I always say medicine that tastes good is probably not good for you. Say that again. Medicine that tastes good is probably not good for you. So I was laying under this car and he would teach me how to shave. No joke. Not in a mirror, not in the bathroom, under the car. He wouldn't example it for me. There was no razor under the car. I had a wrench in my hand and a flashlight. He was changing the oil. And he would talk to me about what happens when you shave in the wrong direction. When you nick yourself, how do you stop the bleeding? And there was no two-way conversation. This was, listen, Yaku, I'm about to tell you how to shave. I'm going to do it in 10 minutes, and then you better get it. And that's how I learned how to shave. But I also at the same time learned, you know, that light will go where your eyes go when you have a flashlight in your hand. So he would smack me on the side of the head and say, hey, don't light where you're looking. Look where you're lighting because I need to see down here. And day after day, there would be life lesson after life lesson under a car, normally under a BMW. He was a BMW guy. Or we would work on his boat, always tinkering. But it was his way, a non-communicative guy, to be in a safe space to find a way to pour into a young man and, yes, talk to me about my mom particularly. He never talked to me about girls. He never talked to me about dating. He always talked to me about my mom. He would tell me, did you see what your mom did there? That's a strong woman. That's the kind of woman you want to marry. Did you see, you know, what your mom, how your mom disciplined your brother, your sister? It was always about my mom. It was never about, hey, Yaku, now when you get a girl something. He never had a single conversation with me about girls. Now, of course, I would have liked to have had that. So for the fathers out there, there's some basic things that we can take today to reestablish construct and direction and principle in life. Something as simple as shaving. Teaching your young son how to shave can be turned into an incredible life lesson. Don't just let that moment pass by. Take that moment and talk to him about life. Use every single moment to get back down to the basics. I'd like to list some basics, and I want the callers to call in and just talk about some basics. What are some basics that maybe your father taught you, your mother taught you? So let's take this call. This is Ryan. Ryan, welcome to the Yaku Boyan Show.
Hey, Yaku. It is great to be on with you, sir. And I love the theme and the topic of discussion this morning. You know, I think of the scripture that is just to be mindful of, that the kingdom of heaven is like a homeowner who brings forth treasure both old and new. And the gospel is about not only the old things, the traditions, but it's about what God is doing that is new as well. He makes all things new. But I think in terms of things that I was taught, as a young child, especially from my father, was the value of work and discipline. And so I think it's one of those things today, and maybe this is something to talk about shaving, but, you know, what instilling the values and principles of good, honest, hard work and labor. And that's something we're seeing even today in the political discussion, where people have different expectations of government and what governments are to provide versus the opportunities they're there right in front of us and what we have a responsibility to do.
Ryan, thanks for calling in. That's so good. And thanks for anchoring that in a scripture. You know, heaven, I stood at UCLA the other day and I looked at the kids and I pulled up my iPhone and I said, you understand this is not new. This is an iPhone 11X. It's a new iPhone, but it's not new. It's a communication device. That's all it is, really. It's a communication device. So communication is not new. We once had a rope with a can on a string, you know, and we hieroglyphics on the wall. But communication, nothing is new, but it's presented anew. And to me, what you just said, in the Lord makes all things new, it's revelation. He can take an experience that you and I had when we were 10 years old that maybe in the moment we didn't see. We didn't understand maybe what your father or my grandfather was trying to teach us. And then God reveals through scripture, hey, this is what I was saying. Hey, this is what my son Jesus was saying in the parable of the talents. I was speaking with Charlie earlier. Charlie last week made an incredible comment about Samson, you know, and how people said, man, yes. I never thought of Samson that way. That's new. God took old scripture. He took something that happened decades ago and made it new for us going, no, this is now relevant today. You want to share a little bit about that, your experiences, about some of the things you were taught, like hard work, how scripture makes it new for you, some of the biblical principles.
Yeah, so it's funny, you know, even in that, just real quick, in the story of Samson, who is a judge, and we're seeing this repeated time and time again, one of the things that scripture shows us is that, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. And while the Lord in the Old Testament and in the old days were doing things to make an example for, say, Israel, they were written for our instruction, so we could read them and we can learn and glean wisdom for daily living. And so time and time again, I'm reminded of this. Hebrews 11 came to mind this morning, where it's the hall of faith. Anybody who's read Hebrews 11 is familiar. It's all of this, the stories of the saints of old who believed and were seeking the promises of God, greeting them from afar. They had no lasting city. They were seeking the city that was to come, whose builder, shaper, founder is God. And I just think, you know, in terms of where we are right now as Christians, you know, it's a challenge to constantly apply. It's a challenge and it's a responsibility to reapply the scriptures to everyday life right here, right now. And so, like, what's on everybody's mind is the coronavirus. And how do we responsibly face that fear in love, rooted in the gospel?
It's so good. And you brought up something, man. I'm telling you, hard work. Something, I don't know. One thing before you go, Ryan, I want to ask you one more question, and I want to talk to you about one more thing. Mm-hmm. I never feel better. And this is, I'm honest, man. I've been in spas. I've been on the, you know, I love the beach, but I honestly feel, I feel great. I really do. When I'm in a really tough workout or when I do physical labor, like take a shovel, you know, I never forget. We had a brigadier, an army brigadier. This guy was high rank, no nonsense. He would come to our corporal and he would yell at the corporal and say, tell these guys to move those rocks from here to there. There was no purpose for the rocks, right? I'm talking about a pile of two tons of rocks with shovels, no wheelbarrows. He would move it 50 feet three times a day for no reason, but there was a reason, right? And then later on I learned, the reason was I was building muscle. I was learning discipline. I was learning teamwork. We figured out how to do it faster. We figured out how to not pass out in the heat in the African sun. And there was so much to learn while just doing physical hard work. It clears my head. For me personally, when I go do physical work, clears my head. God can talk to me. It feels like you're contributing. And I want society to get back to a place where we're here to contribute. We're not here to receive. We're here to contribute. Just maybe a thought or two from your side on that concept.
Yes, I mean, I think it's made in every man and every woman. It's in our DNA, how God created us. He created us for work. And when you think about what we were put on earth for, we're to glorify God, whether therefore we eat or drink, whatever we do all to the glory of God. You know, the scripture teaches that those that don't work should not eat. That comes right out of a lesson from Paul. But I think that there are ways in which God creates us to have a desire to do something that's creative, to do something with our hands, to see progress, and to do all of those things. And so we have to instill those values, those principles, at an early age. And so, yeah, I see that again and again. And for me, it was pushing a mower in the hot Texas sun as a kid at the age of 10, and then figuring out, you know, at the age of 12, hey, my neighbors need some help. I can provide a good or a service, a value to my neighbors, and I could then earn value from providing value. So that idea of a free exchange, I went around door to door knocking on doors. That was my first business at the age of 12. And so these were things that my parents provided me the opportunity to do, but ultimately it was my responsibility. I think these are good lessons for kids as well today.
Again, and I'm sure, Ryan, you learned, hey, if I told Miss Johnson I'm going to be there at 4 o'clock to mow her lawn, then, and I show up at 5, it's not convenient for Miss Johnson anymore because she planned her life around it, because there's actual structure in life, and we can't just float through
That's
life
right.
wanting the whole society to conform to our beliefs and our needs. People should have respect from us.
That's right. Yeah, there was always a promise. And then you had to keep that promise. And so that's another thing, is that young people need to know how to keep their word. Let their yes be yes and their no be no. And that that's something that is missing, is the integrity of our word is often missing today.
Absolutely. Ryan, thank you so much for calling in this morning. God bless you, brother. Thanks for those scriptures. Always great to anchor any idea in the Word of God and let it stand for itself. Talk to you again soon, Ryan.
God bless you, Yaku. Blessings.
Thank you very much. So guys, you hear from Ryan. Look, you're going to hear from folks today, not just me. In the heart, because I don't want you to just say, well, this guy's from South Africa, they do things different. Yes, I grew up with corporal punishment. Do I think that discipline's important? It's scriptural, people. If you love, you will discipline. I always tell parents when they say, well, Yaku, do you want to say spank or pop or discipline your kids? Yes, there's discipline, but it's never out of anger. It's never out of frustration. It's out of love. If I feel irritated, I will walk away. I really will. Calm myself down, then come in, then have a conversation. I love having a conversation with my kids because life has consequence. Action has reaction. This is life. We can't get away from this, folks. And you may say, well, that's so old school. Yes, it absolutely is. But do you know why old school has never gone away? It works. Why has the Bible survived? Why is it the greatest written document of all time? Why is the book that's been the most persecuted? The people, the Jewish nation being the most, and you know, you guys know, I'm, you know, half my family's Jewish. The most persecuted nation is still here. A nation that didn't have a nation, that didn't have a land, that didn't have territory. Thank you, President Trump, for moving the embassy to Jerusalem and establishing a new protocol. But why are they still here? Because the Bible works. It works. Simply said, when you apply it into your life, when you take the principles, the way Jesus walked. In fact, the Word of God tells us he was tempted in every single way you could ever be tempted. And yes, men, that means sexually. Absolutely. Yes, men, that means tempted with competitive nature. Of course, look at the Pharisees and Sadducees. They drove him out and said, you're a false prophet. If you're the Son of God, and Satan challenging himself. He was challenged. The basic principles of the Bible works because it's rooted in love. The very thing society is crying out for today. The very thing the ultra left is, well, you got to love people. And if you don't agree with people and you don't give them what they want and you don't hand them out free stuff and you don't stop demanding that they contribute to society and you don't start saying that, like Ryan, go push a mower and get calluses on your hands and cut the cord or run out of gas and problem solve and be late to Miss Jones so she can, you know, wave her finger at you and deduct your pay and learn that a worker's due his wages. If we want to shelter community, society from those things, we're going to be in deep trouble. And you may today go, well, Yaku, this is 2020. We don't do that anymore. Well, we should. We should. Absolutely. We got another caller. Ilanka is on the line. And full disclosure, because it's such a unique name, this is my sister calling into the show. Ilanka, good morning.
Good morning, Yaku. I loved your conversation with Ryan. Gosh, I have so many things to say about that. However, I have another question for you this morning. I've recently been studying and just learning about the exhibition exemption for schools and colleges and libraries, which also includes the peer-to-peer rape clause, like if peer-to-peer, you know, you are familiar with that, if a minor abuses another minor, all that. Well, it's part of the exhibition exemption for schools. Well, I want to see what you think about this, but I recently found out is that the exhibition exemption exists so that medical students and professionals who are entering a life in the medical field can view certain content, which is against the law, naturally, you know, for any one of us. Like if there's pornographic content of looking at body parts or things like that, that students need to be able to look at, that they can. However, in the same law they have grouped in education, which our public schools falls under, and all art museums fall under, and all libraries fall under. So that's why we see that schools have a separate portal for kids to be able to view educational content. But in that, they are allowed to post very exhibitionist images for kids, which creates a major problem. And I've always wondered, like, why does the education system have such leeway to change their sex education? And now I know why, because they have this exhibition exemption.
I just wanted
to see what you think about this.
Wow, what an incredible question, right? Because as we're dealing with the comprehensive sex ed curriculum that's in public schools today and all the craziness that's going on there, can you stay on the line through the break? We got to take a quick break here. We have to, you know, we have to make sure we get to pay the bills. But I want to stay on the line, Ilanka. We're going to take a quick break because I want to tackle this thing with you, because this is going to answer some hard questions for people that's saying, how does this happen? Well, this is how it happened, folks. There's always someone keeping watch or not keeping watch for your children in government. This is why we want short government. We'll be back right after the break. Don't go anywhere. There's great calls coming, great content for you at The Bottom Line.
Voice America is available on your Google connected device.
Okay, Google, play Turning Hard Times into Good Times podcast on iHeartRadio.
Try it today.
The future of our nation is our children. Life is precious. For more information about how you can help Yaku fight child sex trafficking in the USA, go to sharetogethernow.org. Yaku fights for life and liberty and is called to transform culture through uplifting entertainment to resemble God's character. Follow Yaku on all social media and subscribe to his Instagram and YouTube channels, as well as the Falkirk Center on social media. Learn about his film, TV series, and book projects, and support his efforts at YakuBoyans.com. Truth sets you free, and that's The Bottom Line.
We don't follow, we lead. Join us, the Voice America Influencers Channel.
You
You're listening to The Bottom Line with Yaku Boyens. If you'd like to reach the program today, please call 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Or email info@afteredenpictures.com. Now, back to The Bottom Line.
All right, we're back at The Bottom Line. This is Yaku Boyens. We got a caller on the line, Ilonka. Today, we decided not to have guests on the show. We wanted to open up to the callers. And Ryan, man, Ryan dropped some bombs on the show. Ilonka, you asked a question, you know, and you told us, you informed us, actually, and even for me, you know, how do these quote-unquote quasi soft pornographic content such as the comprehensive sex ed curriculum work its way into schools? And you're telling us it's because it's under the law.
That's right. It is absolutely under the law, yes. It is part of the exhibition exemption, which originally that was only supposed to be for medical students, for law students who were going to study criminal law. But unfortunately, you know, as lawmakers do, they worked in education. But that means from first grade up. I mean, any school, any library, and any art exhibit is exempt from this. So that's why you'll see sometimes in museums, they will do a field trip, and then the kids will walk in on an artist who did some kind of an exhibit on sexuality.
Or nudity.
And 10th
yeah,
graders, and 11th graders, whatever it is. And then parents will ask, well, why is this, why are you showing our kids this? Because the moral compass that you have at home is not the moral compass that the school goes by. And they do have, under the law, they have a right to do this. So the portals, like if you called your school today and you said, I want to have access to my child's portal, for instance, for sex ed, they would probably only allow you to do it only if you would be supervised by a principal to do
okay,
it.
Okay, I want to tackle
that. And that's because they can do it under the law.
Wow, I want to tackle this. Ilonka, maybe what we do in the future is make this a topic on a show, because this needs a deep dive. Because for sure, we got to educate people, because now we're talking about getting, again, folks, this is why you have to vote your morals. This is why you absolutely have to show up at the polls on November 3rd. Hopefully you showed up last Tuesday. Show up and be very careful with what you do with the down ballot. I believe I know where you're going to go voting for president, and hopefully you'll vote your morals and life there. But the down ballot is so important, because this is how culture is infiltrated in our schools. This is what I mean back to basics. Ilonka's talking about back to basics. The basic is, I've got a set of moral values at my house, and I hope and I pray that that set of moral values is also taught to my child, so it's corroborated and reinforced at school. And what we're hearing now is under the exhibition exemption, which is now something we're going to tackle now for the rest of the year. We're going to see what we can do to turn this thing. Thank you, Ilonka. Such a great topic. What an awakening. We're going to tackle that. We're going to have a conversation offline, and we'll bring it back in. I'm going to take one more quick call, and then I'll share some of my thoughts with you, some of my history of some of the basics that shaped my foundation. And then we continue to take calls for the rest of the hour. I think we've got Rick on the line from Missouri. Rick, are you there?
Hey, good morning, Yaku. How you doing, buddy?
Morning, Rick. Morning, man. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, no problem. Listen, you talk about back to basics. I grew up in the Northeast, and it's interesting. You know, I lived in the Northeast, then I moved to Florida. And I lived in Florida for a good part of my life, my adult life. And it's amazing what you get used to. And unfortunately, what we're seeing, I really believe, is an entitlement society that has been literally fed a message from media, and I mean all media, to a point now where it's very interesting. They were saying recently that that the turnaround for employment, the number of people that stay 2 weeks, 2 months, then they're gone, then they skip, then they're gone, is the highest it's ever been in American history. And we recently moved to Missouri. And I've got to tell you something, my friend. I was very, very, very shocked in a good way in finding out that, you know, and it was simple. You walk into a Walmart. a kid bumps into you. I mean, some teenager or some young kid. And as long as I was living in Florida, you know, somebody bumps into you, they bump into you, or they say something nasty, or some kid knocks you over or whatever. And it was like that consistently. I get in here to Missouri, and all of a sudden, we're walking into a store or something. Like I said, a kid bumps into you. Excuse me, ma'am. Excuse me, sir. Or they hold the door open, or they'll walk over. And we're not elderly. You know, this is just common courtesy. And I grew up with that. I grew up with that. My father instilled these basics into my life. Like, for instance, I remember from the earliest days of my life, you don't eat. You don't work. You don't eat. That was it. Nobody gives you anything. That's what it was. And how you treat a woman, my father treated my mother like a queen, but with great respect. They were a wonderful team together, but he showed her respect. And unfortunately, you know, what our kids are being fed that we can't control very easily once they're off in school is literally, it has broken down that basic structure.
Rick, man, I got a lot to say about this. I'm talking about dirt. Red dirt, that red clay from Africa. Always say, I go back to the red dirt. Listen, everybody, go. Look, I'm not promoting Jason Aldean necessarily, but Jason Aldean's got a song called Flyover States. And I believe that's what happened in 2016. The flyover states woke up and said, enough is enough. We're not going to let these coastal cities control us anymore, because Missouri says there's still such a thing as respect. They're still bumping, amen, like Rick says, into somebody. Sorry, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. Rick, what is one thing? Give me one thing before you go. One thing that just you believe that somebody passed down to your father, your brother, dad, a friend, that you still hang on today, that you would consider as old school, but it's going to be with us for the rest of time.
Oh, Yaku, I mean, the number one thing my father taught me was to love unconditionally and to love everyone and to do it through your actions, not through your words. He always would say to me, you know, your words are just your words. He said, you can say all you want. He said, you can send all the cards you want. He said, but if you really love and care for someone, it will show in your everyday actions how much you care and love. Well, you know what? You know, I think, unfortunately, we have, you know, and the other thing too, Yaku, is that when I talk about entitlement, you know, unfortunately, we have seen, and believe me, my wife and I have seen it firsthand, my friend, the dangers of what happens to young people. To our young people growing up today that are fed a constant message of, you deserve this, you deserve that, you are better than this, you are better. Now, I'm not talking about teaching a young person to actually have a good self-esteem. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know, you don't have to work for this. This should just come to you.
And yeah, like what we have in society. Sorry to interrupt you, but you show up, you get a trophy, a participation trophy. You know, you show up because it's the right thing to do. You show up because you made a commitment to your team. You show up because you're enrolled in school. You show up because you took the job. You do your job because it's your job. You know, just that's doing it. Your job, it's you're getting paid for it. You shouldn't get accolades. Now go above and beyond. Go like our soldiers do. What would happen if a soldier said, I'm signing up to the Marine Corps, sir, but I'm not going to shoot guns. I'm not going to, when there's an enemy show up. No, you got to like extra reward me for that. No, your job is to show up. Your job is to do your job. And so the easiest way for the youth today is just that, well, I don't have a job. Somebody's going to take care of me. And this is where we see the burn movement, Bernie, and the craziness of all free stuff. Man, I think we're going to have a part 2, 3, 4 on just old school is new school. Rick, thank you for calling in. Thank
you're
you
welcome,
for reminding
my
friend. Us. Everybody in Missouri, thank you. Keep the fort strong. I'm going to tell you a quick story, and we're going to take another call. I believe we've got Crystal on the line or Dan on the line, but I'm going to tell you a quick story. My first day of high school, I want you to picture this. My mom taught at my high school before, practically before, right when I was born. So I knew every single teacher in this high school. There's not a, they babysat me. The principal baby, his wife babysat me. So by the time I get to my first day of high school, and we had massive initiation, and I do not promote initiation or hazing, right? But we had that, okay? So just deal with that. But I show up at school, my first day of school. I'm in the restroom. I'm at the latrine. For those of you who don't know what that means, there's an old school name for you, the urinal, okay? And I hear my name over the loudspeaker. Yaku Boyens, come to the principal's office. I'm in high school for 3 hours, people. I show up at the principal's office, and there's four other guys in there, all seniors. And we all get caned together. And you might go, oh, this is atrocious. People are hitting children. Hey, I told you, I was raised in corporal punishment, and I am better for it. Oh, man, I'm better for it. I'm telling you. And I asked the principal, I said, listen, what did I do? He goes, Yaku, when you walked into the bathroom, did you smell smoke? I go, yeah, it was terrible. He said, did you report that people were smoking? I go, no. He goes, that's why you're here. You ate it and abetted. You were complicit. These four boys smoked next to you. And from here on forward, you'll remember for the rest of your life. If you see something wrong on this campus, you talk about it. If you see someone done wrong, you talk about it. If you see evil in the streets, you talk about it. You do something about it. Like the man, you know, who pulled his firearm in a church and defended a whole church. You see something's wrong, you step up and you do something about it. And I'll never forget my grandfather that afternoon. Because in South Africa, how it works is if you get caned at school, you're going to get caned at home. That's just it, man. You get punishment at school, you go home, you get it again. Or if you get it at home, they may send you to school and tell the principal, hey, he was difficult at the dinner table last night. Sort him out at school. Right now, I'm not saying, hey, let's just start hitting kids at school. That's how I was raised. I'm telling you my stories, telling you my old school is new school. And what my grandfather taught me that afternoon after he gripped me, right? As he says, I don't care if it's a piece of paper that lays in the street. If you see it, pick it up. That's your civil duty. Contribute to society. Do not walk past that piece of paper and say, well, there's some janitor somewhere around here whose job it is to clean up this paper. No, you are seeing a problem, fix it. Now, it's not your job. Nobody's going to notice. Nobody's going to give you a reward. Nobody's going to tell you, oh, attaboy. That's like Yaku. Do you remember when Yaku? No, because the word of God says, let your left hand not know what your right hand is doing. Just do it. It's about the only thing Nike ever got right. Yes, you heard me. Yes, yes, yes. Any company that promotes anti-American stuff, I cannot stand with. The only thing Nike ever did right was the just do it slogan. Everything else, may they go back to their basics. Nike, Phil, calling out on you, go back to your roots, go back to your basics. Let's get back down to just do it and just do it for good. All right, let's take another call. I think Crystal is on the line. Crystal, are you with us?
Yes.
Hi, Crystal.
Hi, how are you?
I am blessed. Thanks for calling in, Crystal. Thanks, Crystal.
I love the story about how your grandfather was so intentional that, you know, with his limitations, maybe communication-wise, or, you know, he didn't necessarily make it fun. He was very intentional to make sure that if you were there with him, you were going to get the right perspective on life. And I was recently listening to a man who lost his teenage son to suicide. And he was very, very passionate. And he was talking to a room full of dads. And they were asking him questions. And one of the questions they asked him is, what would you do different? And he said, you know, there were times that I worked at home and I was busy in my office. And he said, because I checked in on my son all the time. Hey, how you doing? How was school today? Fine. He goes, that's the answer I got. You know, and that's kind of normal with some teens and stuff. He goes, but that's the answer I always got. I was checking in on him, or I thought I was. And he was telling me he was fine. So I thought he was fine. And he said, but I worked at home and he would come and say, hey, Dad, can I talk to you for a minute? And he said, I'd be on a call, and I'd say, yeah, I got to finish this call. I'll be with you in about 30 minutes. And, you know, he said, I didn't necessarily follow up. And I wasn't realizing in the moment that that's when I needed to stop and talk to him. That's when he was open to talk to me. And so I just, the intentionality of the people in our life, that we really do see them and hear them and pour into them when we have those opportunities. I just think that's awesome.
Wow, Crystal, man, you are speaking to my heart. You know, I mean, I'm a dad of three, and I can tell you right now. I want to make sure I'm capping what you're saying here, right? You're saying that when that child comes to you, when that friend comes to you, when that employee comes to you and says, "Hey, can we talk?" That's the moment that that person is ready to listen, as well, to receive. And we blow past, no question, I blow past those moments. No doubt. You just convicted me as a dad, because now I'll come to you when I'm ready to talk. Well, then my child may not be ready. My child's ready right now. Now, that doesn't mean a child can, you know, we also have to teach discipline. Of course, people call you in the middle of a meeting and you got to drop everything. But man, can we do better? I believe we can. Am I understanding you right, Crystal, that in that moment, that person is open to talk, but also receive?
Yes. And I just, you know, there's different things I've read about family, because I believe that as we build strong families, we build strong communities, we build a strong nation. And it starts at home. It starts with being very intentional about those home relationships. And there's times that there's an open window with your kids or your spouse or with a friend or coworker, and you have to take advantage of those things. You have to be aware enough that your agenda is not priority.
Wow, fantastic. Crystal, thank you. That is powerful. People, we have to be intentional with our time. We have to be intentional with the people around us. Make every second count and transfer old school principles that you know that works. I'd love on our next segment, you know, the next time, for people to bring in some old school money wisdom, how to take care of money, how to take care of marriage, you know, how to take care of your body. We're going to do more of these. I love this show. I'm going to take another call real quick. Dan, I believe Dan is on the line, and maybe Layla as well. But Dan, let's get to you. Dan, what say you?
Yeah, good morning, Yaku. Thanks for this program.
Morning, Dan.
Just, you know, as you were saying, you know, you were raised without a dad. I had the same situation. Mine was a little different. My dad passed away when I was 12 years old. So I was raised by my mom. And just the different things that you were talking about that your grandfather taught you, my mom taught me those from a woman's perspective, and to respect and to open doors and to open car doors and to, you know, and to work hard. And she did that through example. She worked a lot of hours. I mean, she worked, now that I look back at it, I don't know how she did it. She worked 24 hours a day. You know, she had three different jobs. And, but she knew that she needed to do that for us to, you know, to make it through life. And she did that while my dad was sick. And then she did that, after, you know, after he passed away. And so she taught me, you know, when I come home from school, I needed to, you know, kind of clean the house some and get, you know, dinner started and things like that. So it was the same things you were talking about, life skills that our parents teach us that are so important.
To Dan, I'll tell you this. The America we love today, okay? The America that we love so much today, the America that we get to live in today, that all these youngsters, you know, and I'll go back to Charlie. He's telling this one kid, hey, you hate capitalism, but you use your iPhone. That's built by capitalism, and it's hypocrisy. All the luxuries we love in this country, people sacrifice for it. Your mom worked three jobs. It was built by basic godly principles. I'll challenge any faith. There's no other faith that can point back to history about the amount of time invested for others, time invested to build society that's functioning and strong. It is the Christian faith. It is people who are saying, like Rick said, love everybody. Well, if you live by the notion of loving everybody, then racism has no place in your house. Racism can't be in your house. If you live by the notion of every human being has value, then you're going to respect and appreciate people. I so appreciate it for Dan's call. I want to tell you another quick story. I mean, I love living through these stories. So my mom and my grandfather teaches me this one day. Hey, Yaku, when you date a girl and you open the car door for her, Now picture this, and I know some of you guys go, I don't open the door for my wife. Start. It may be a better marriage for you, buddy. I'm just saying. Your family may grow. But we'll get real on the show. But pay attention. If you open the door for her, all the young men today, open the door for your girlfriend and then walk around the car. And I was taught this. If she doesn't open the door from the inside for you, she doesn't share the same basic principles. And that may sting, woman. I'm sorry. Start doing that. When a guy opens the door for you in a car, lean over and open the door for him. When a guy opens the door for you, say thank you. Don't automatically assume he wants to see the inside of your hotel room. Some men just want to build society, just like some men just want to break society. And men, do not think every single woman wants a weak man. Do not think all the women out there are crazy with this, emasculating movement. No, some women still want the warrior. The Bonnie Tyler song. Where's the white knight? On the fiery steed. Where's my Superman? Our Superman is Jesus, of course, but where's the guy that when I rest at night will stand watch? Right? We got to do another one of this. And Layla, sorry if you're listening. I know you dropped off. We didn't get to you, but I appreciate you for calling in anyway. I want you to know and understand that there are basic things in life that just works. Okay? They work. And they've stood the test of time. And we cannot tamper with these things. We cannot tamper with family. We cannot tamper with basic common decency, respect, appreciation. We are not here today without history. We cannot abandon our history in this nation. We cannot rewrite history like they're doing in South Africa, wiping out hundreds of years. Because it is the foundation. We have an incredible nation because people sacrificed. You are here today because those old school basic principles worked. It is time to re-employ them. It is time to come back to society and look another man in the eye. And I'm challenging all the men today. I'm asking you today, if you listen to this, go to a man that is not your race. Stop him. Cold. In public. Look him in the eye. And tell him, hey, it's good to meet you. Thank you for the good you do in the world. Now, you may say, Yaku, how do I know he's doing good? It doesn't matter. Call it out of him. Call him up. Wives, every single morning, look at your husband. And if he was a jerk last night, then do what Jesus does and says, it's a new day, new grace, new mercy. Look at him and say, man of God, it's good to see you this morning. If you're not a believing family and you don't know the Lord yet, then just say, hey, dad of the household, hey, good man, it's good to see you this morning. Well, Yaku, he wasn't good last night. Then start modeling something different for him. Call it out of him because it's in him. It's in every single human being to return to the image of God. We are born into sin, ever wandering this planet, to return to the image of God. This is why something like the Falkirk Center at Liberty University exists and why I am so blessed and honored to be a part of it. Right? Because it's return to the basic principles where faith is everything. God in everything. God in marriage. God in culture. God in politics. God in your business. All right, let me tell you about some other place where you can find some really good information. The Epoch Times is a news outlet that I would like for you to go to. Read Epoch, readepoch.com/Yaku. You're going to get a discount when you go there. They're going to give you some grace and some leeway to get coverage on the coronavirus, and some publications. Look, this is the Yaku Boyan Show. It's the bottom line. We got down to the bottom line today. The bottom line for today is old school is new school. Thank you for all the callers. We're going to have another one of these segments, no question, because old school works. God bless you. God bless America. Stay strong. Have faith in God. Do not panic with this coronavirus. Go back to scripture, because that is, in fact, where everything comes from. This is the bottom line, the Yaku Boyan Show. Talk to you again next time.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bottom Line. Please join your host, Yaku Boyans, for another edition of the program, Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time and 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Influencers Channel. Listen for more enlightenment on our next show.